Hello, this is Monocle Reads. I'm Georgina Godwin. On Wednesday evening, I went to the most fabulous party, made extra special by not only the fact that most of us hadn't seen each other for a couple of years, but also because of what it represents. The Women's Prize for Fiction is one of the greatest annual international celebrations of women's creativity. It's now in its 26th year, and it honours outstanding, ambitious, original fiction written in English by women from anywhere in the world. It was founded by the novelist Kate Moss. Here she is, welcoming guests to the award ceremony.
What is the Women's Prize about? It's about putting exceptional, brave, bold, beautiful, amazing novels by women in the hands of people everywhere who would love them. And that has been an extraordinary thing. Millions of people were given solace and support and connection over these very, very odd months that we've had because we all read the same books and we rang people up and we went on our screens and we passed the books on and said, what about this? Have you read this book? Have you read that book? Books, novels in particular, give us empathy. They help us to see the world in a different light. And everything about publishing a novel is to do with all of you here. Some of you are new writers, and really, you're so welcome. All of us are readers. Many of you are publishers or agents, and you are the people that are getting these stories out. And the final thing that I want to say, which in a way I wish I didn't have to say, but we all watch the news. We need to keep saying that women's voices matter. We need to know that things go backwards as well as forwards. And we need to keep publishing incredible novels so that every single woman, whoever she is, thinks she's got the right for her voice to be heard. Not someone else speaking for her, but all of the writers who want to put their stories down on paper. And that's what the Women's Prize is about. And all of you new writers who are here and the established writers are here. And now, here endeth the first lesson.
The chair of the judges was award-winning writer Bernardine Evaristo.
Hello, everybody. So wonderful to see so many people here in the flesh. First of all, I'd just like to say, as I know we all appreciate, the Women's Prize has been a force for good for women's fiction for 26 years now. And it's been driven by Kate Moss and her team. And we must always appreciate the people behind the scenes who are making things happen. And this prize has just become such an occasion. But also, it's not just about the winners or the shortlisted authors or even the long-listed authors. It's about all the women writers out there whose reputations have been enhanced, who have been published even by the publishers because of this prize. So I think we should just acknowledge that. Sometimes it's really hard to measure books against each other because they're doing such different things. But we do think that these books are terrific books, terrific authors. Some of them are debut novelists, some of them are more experienced, and they're global writers, not just in the fact that these writers are coming from different parts of the world, but they're also writing for the world. And we must remember that when we talk about women's fiction, we're talking about people writing for the world, not just for other women. The book we chose was chosen because the writing is sublime, the storytelling is exceptional, and indeed the story is out of this world, literally. And we felt that we were reading something that we hadn't read before. It just felt completely fresh and original. And also, it's the kind of novel that we found lingers in your subconscious long after you've read it, that it has this really profound, lasting effect. So the winner of the Women's Prize for Fiction 2021 is Piranesi.
And here is the author of Piranesi, Susanna Clarke.
As some of you will know, Piranesi was written, nurtured, written, and publicised during a long illness. It is the book that I never thought I would get to write. I never thought I'd be well enough. So this feels doubly extraordinary, doubly honoured to be here. And my hope is that my standing here tonight will encourage other women who are incapacitated by long illness.
So who is Susanna Clarke? She was born in Nottingham. She now lives in Derbyshire. Her debut novel, Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, was published in 2004 in more than 34 countries. It was longlisted for the Man Booker Prize, shortlisted for a host of others, and won the British Book Awards Newcomer of the Year, the Hugo Award for Best Novel, the World Fantasy Award for Best Novel, and Time Magazine's Best Novel of the Year. It's now sold more than 4 million copies worldwide, and in 2015 it was adapted into a mini-series by the BBC. Her Women's Prize-winning book, Piranesi, was published by Bloomsbury. The Times called it a second novel that's close to perfect, whilst the Washington Post praised it for being infinitely clever, claiming the novel resonated with a planet in quarantine. I caught up with Susanna at the after party and began by asking her how she felt.
I think I feel very, very happy, but I kind of need to check in on myself a bit later when things have calmed down to find out if that's actually the case. When I heard my name, it was just, I was shaking and quite close to tears, but I think I was thrilled. I think I was thrilled.
But of course, success isn't new to you because you've already had a huge hit novel.
Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell was an unbelievable experience, but it was, I think, about 17, 18 years ago now. And the years in between, I have spent ill, and that faded away. It felt, for a long time, it felt like something that happened to someone else. It was a very nice sort of idea, but it didn't particularly feel related to my day-to-day life. It wasn't until the television programme was made of Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, and I was invited up to see the filming, that I kind of remembered, and I thought, oh yeah, I used to have a life that was as a writer. And I think, curiously, that encouraged me, that kind of gave me a lot of confidence, seeing that filming, being among creative people again. It kind of gave me confidence to sort of think, maybe I should give this another go. Maybe I can see what I can, whether I can still do something.
Can you talk about your illness?
I collapsed at a dinner party about 6 months after the publication of Strange and Norrell. And it was very difficult to say what was happening, other than that I felt very tired. And what happens then is that they don't diagnose you for a while, but after you've been had the same illness for about 6 months, at that point they start calling it chronic fatigue. It's very mysterious. It's very hard for other people to understand. Sometimes I can do things quite normally, but I'm very, very easily tired and I have limited energy. A lot of people will recognise this. I have limited energy, a tiny bit of energy to spend each day. And you have to decide, you have to be very careful making decisions about how you spend that energy. But it does make you kind of, you live a quiet life. And that is, in a way, no bad thing for a writer. It's been difficult for me to actually physically do the writing and organise my thoughts and be consistent about working. But what I've discovered is that the sort of imaginative side of it, the ideas, don't go away. I'm still obsessed with the same sorts of things I always was, with other worlds and with strange images and how to put those together and make them into stories. That still fascinates me. So it's really just spending that energy very carefully each day.
So in this book, very much other worlds, a kind of museum. Tell us more about that.
Piranesi is set in a world which is just one house. It consists of halls and vestibules and staircases, and there is one man, our narrator, who lives there. And there's another man who sort of appears from time to time regularly, but he's a bit mysterious. But it was the idea of a house in which there is an ocean on the lower floor, and this ocean sometimes surges up and waters pour through the halls and along the staircases. This kind of obsessed me. I loved that image, even though I still can't say exactly what it means. But I think it connects with a lot of dream images that perhaps are familiar to people, images of an endless house. And there are also statues in Piranesi's world. It's full of statues, and they don't necessarily each have a meaning that you can sort of pin down, but the ones I've described, I've tried to make resonant so that people can put their own meanings on these images, a bit like tarot cards, for example.
So, looking at the book, I was very much put in mind of Gormenghast. Was that an influence?
The strongest influence was the short stories of an Argentinian writer called Jorge Luis Borges. He wrote these very short stories. They're sort of gem-like and pristine. And he created one world that was nothing but a library, and another world which I think there was one story set in a labyrinth. But the other influence, I think, was C.S. Lewis. In one of his books, The Magician's Nephew, the two children characters travel to a world which is a ruined world, and which at first seems completely empty of people. And I think Lewis himself thought that this was rather a dark and threatening world. It was called Charn, but I always rather loved it. I just loved the idea of walking through these courtyards and halls and just exploring them alone. So I think a lot of that came into it, yes.
How do you feel that the novel speaks to our contemporary world?
I don't really make I don't really think of something that I want to say to the contemporary world, but what I think I wanted to hint at was that Piranesi feels very happy in his world. It's a lonely world, and it's quite a harsh world to live in. It's quite dangerous, and he has to constantly look for food and keep himself warm. It's not an easy world to live in. But he feels this strong connection with the world around him. He feels that it's not, although it's made of stone and marble, to him it's not inanimate. It possesses a spirit, and that spirit is benevolent. And it communes with him, and he communes with that. So it's what I'm trying to hint at is that we very often feel alienated from the world around us, but there is another way of living which is in harmony with the world.
And do you think that your illness, your condition, contributed to that?
I would think almost certainly yes, because as a person who can't go out and explore woods and hills and travel to places that I traveled to before, you have a very confined life. But it needn't necessarily be an impoverished life. There's still nature right outside the window. There's still all of literature on the internet. There's still plenty of opportunities to sort of feel the spirit of the world and connect to that.
And finally, what does this win mean to you?
To be perfectly honest, I'm waiting to find that out. I am very excited to see what it means. I'm just hugely honoured, I think, at the moment to join the ranks of women who've won the Women's Prize. I mean, writers that I've admired, wonderful writers, and it's just the most extraordinary thing.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And that's all from a glorious night at the Women's Prize for Fiction 2021. Susanna Clarke's book, Piranesi, is published by Bloomsbury, and it's available now. And do head to womensprizeforfiction.co.uk to find out more about this wonderful award. There's a great podcast, shop, and suggestions of ways you can get involved and contribute to celebrating the work of women writers. You've been listening to Monocle Reads, edited today by Jack Jewers. I'm Georgina Godwin. Thank you for listening.